Let's look here. I got a Mark sent an email that he received, if I can say it this here, and a couple of comments were made, and it just makes me just think of something here. It was a number of years ago when somebody told me that the 1611 was the word of God. No, none of the others were. That was a big move for me. And then when Dr. Reckman, I'll have to admit it was Dr. Reckman, then when he said that the big issue for them, he talked about the first thing I heard of was that the King James Bible is our final authority. And I know Gibbs says it's our final authority in all of faith and practice. Yeah, I understand that, but we don't look at it as our final authority in all practice. We still have our flesh issues, and neither does he, because they get into the Great Commission thing, and it may be your final authority, but you're tweaking the wrong section. But anyway, besides that. But the point is when you're talking with people, typing with them, or just talking casually with them, and they get mad at you for any kind of comment you make as you're judging them. And we know the story, know the verses about judging, and yes, we do. But it's not us that's judging. See, it's this Bible, it's the Word of God. And then they get mad, and then they put a throw of judgment at you, which they can do, but we can't. And we know all this kind of stuff. Nothing new there. But that issue of final authority, that is just an issue that is no longer in existence, because they've had their Bibles taken away for so long, and different Bible versions, and they all know they all don't say it the same. They all don't say the same thing. Everybody knows that. And the King James Bible, that's old and archaic, and so how can that be any kind of an authority in these new Bibles? See, one of the comments this lady made was, so before you get on here and start preaching the Bible, read in a study Bible. That breaks it down for people who don't know what they are truly reading. And she says here, when it says sin was abolished, all sin was abolished. Well, what's that lady's final authority? Well, supposedly her study Bible, her notes, her footnotes at the bottom. And I imagine that's what it must say. And she says up in the front thing, she says, the laws of the Old Testament do not apply anymore. They're over and done. In the death of Jesus, we were set free. Not just some of us, but all of us. Well, see, the response to that would be, no, that's not true. But where do you have to go to show this person? You have to go to your Bible. Got to go to a King James Bible. Well, they don't have a King James Bible, probably. They haven't read a King James Bible. So it's your Bible against her opinion. And it's just like music. People like what they like. And if this lady feels secure with her footnotes, then she's being lied to, obviously, but you can't prove that except without a King James Bible. So, for example here, I mean, it's just one key word. Because of what she says, I would go to Romans chapter 5 with her, and I'd show her verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, okay, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So she's being taught that there is no law. But Romans 10, ma'am, says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So if somebody doesn't believe, then the law still has its purpose. You go to Galatians and you show us to show her that she needs Christ, the real one. And if you keep going through that thing back in Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 15, but as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And you keep reading through 16, 17, down to 20 and 21, you see the word many. It doesn't say all. And then again, you go back to Romans chapter 10, and you see, you have to be a believer. You have to believe. And then she says, where it says we were set free. No, we were never set free. If we were set free, we wouldn't be here. That's a tribulation comment, because they will have to be away from all the pollutions of the world. They will have to be set free. Now, Christ isn't going to just set them off to the side. They still have to do it on their own from that standpoint. So anyway, my point is, is what is your final authority? Is it really a King James Bible? Oh, sure it is. Okay, is it rightly divided? Well, sure it is. Well, are you sure? Are you sure that the people you listen to are always quoting and proving that final authority in all matters of faith and practice? See, practice means the doing part. Anyway, so there's that comment anyway. That seems to be the issue for people. Then what do they say? What does our crowd say more and more nowadays? Well, you know, if all you're going to talk about is the King James Bible, you're not going to get anywhere with people. Okay, so let's throw away our final authority. Let's hobnob with them and let's fit in. And maybe they'll get the truth then. Wait a minute. You just threw out the truth to mix in with them. How are they going to get the truth? You're no different than an ecumenical church yourself. You're an ecumenical Christian. But then you get this bad attitude thing thrown at you. And, well, you know, speaking of a bad attitude here, let me ask you a couple of questions here. We'll get to 1 John here in a minute. Let's go to Acts 19. And yes, the King James Bible is the final authority, no doubt. Even historically, Old Testament. Well, sure, that's the final authority. That's the final history. That history is true. Well, the history books don't seem to match with the Bible. Okay, then the history books are wrong. That simple. Okay, the life of Jesus. Okay, the final authority for the truth of the life of Jesus. Sure, Gospels. Well, what if these movies that are coming about the Passion of Christ, you know, and the life of Christ, all these things, they don't match with the King James Bible. Okay, then the movies are wrong. And you're going to sit down and watch a wrong movie. You're going to learn some false doctrine. Okay, well, what about the pastors and everybody that's preaching Hebrews to Jude? You know, I mean, there's some pretty good stuff in there to put the guilt on people so they start walking right. Is that our final authority? No, that's the final authority for the tribulation. And besides that, there'll be a famine of hearing the Word of God, so they're probably not even going to have it there to read anyway. And God handles that. But see, that's the final authority for the tribulation. So I'm going to buy these books about Revelations, you know, and the tribulation this, and the tribulation that, and the rapture this, and the rapture that. And if it doesn't go with Hebrews through Jude or Daniel, I mean, you can pull out the Old Testament stuff. Yeah, you can pull out the Old Testament stuff and go way over people's heads, or you can go simply to Hebrews to Jude and give them the detailed daily what it's going to be like to be that kind of a person. That's the final authority for the tribulation. Okay? And, well, what about today? What's your final authority? Well, King James Bible. But as far as my faith, it's Paul's books. What about my daily walk? Well, Paul's books. Because not only do I find out that all things are lawful, he still puts some strings attached to that thing in order for it to please God. And that final authority from Paul, people tend to get tired of. And I don't understand that, because Paul preaches the goodness of God. Well, what do you mean, the goodness of God? The fact that all things are lawful. And the fact that he's not chastising. And the fact that he changed, he cut us away from our flesh. The fact that we're pure on the inside. I mean, the fact, the list goes on, the riches of his goodness, the riches of his mercy. I mean, it's a massive thing. Why don't people want to talk about that? My whole website is learning to live the risen life. Here, come, you know, it says at the top there, come hear about the goodness of God. And all this stuff does is just make people mad. I know. It's me. It's how I say it. It's how I presented it. No. I get so tired of that, you know, because haven't you told your kids or told somebody something as nice as you possibly can and just sugar-coated it and the whole thing, and they still don't want it? They still didn't like it? What could you have done differently? Well, how about if I just ignore it for now? Well, timing is very important, no doubt. So this whole thing in Acts chapter, I'm leading up to this thing in Acts chapter 19, and you know the story up there. In verse 26, 27, 28, you know, despise, it says here, their money income has been set at naught, you know, and it says here, the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and the magnificence should be destroyed. Well, you know, Okay, we understand that. That's the King James Bible. That's the final authority. That's Acts. That's Paul, the last half of Acts. That's what Paul's done to the people in Asia. And what does he do? In verse 28, man, he makes them mad. Oh, shame on you, Paul. You must not have said it right. The whole city was filled with confusion. They did everything they can to get at Paul. Okay, here's my question. This being Easter, so do we despise Easter? Do we try to destroy the magnificence of it? Well, let's look at some questions here, or some thoughts here. Is there anything in Easter that is scripturally correct? Well, Jesus died and rose again. Well, yeah, the concept, the fact there is, yeah, he did. Okay, there's an element of truth. Let's see here, does he tell us to celebrate it? No. It's kind of like Christmas. He doesn't tell us to celebrate it. It's a Catholic thing. You look at any aspect of the Easter celebration of the day, we know it's Ishtar. Oh, the word Easter is in the King James Bible, and it probably shouldn't be. No, it probably should be, because it's exactly what it is. It's a pagan holiday. It was something that was going on back in the Pentecost time. So, yeah, it's the right word. And I could explain, I could read the explanation to you. It's like a page and a half of study. Nah, I don't need that. It's the word that's in there. There's a reason for it being in there. So, does that make it a good thing? No, it's not talked about in a good way at all. Oh, what about the bunnies and the eggs and all that stuff? You know, that's Ishtar, you know, the giant bunny in the river and all that stuff. And oh, it's about being born again. It's a new birth. Yeah, it's like an egg, you know. Where did you get that out of the Bible? Well, first of all, being born again is not even a scriptural thing by looking to Paul. Well, you know, you're just a party pooper. Well, just consider a couple more of these thoughts here. Are we to love Easter? Well, of course not. There's nothing scriptural about it. And in fact, it's actually putting forth a false doctrine. Now people hang eggs on their trees, and they look at the whole bunny thing. They look at the whole new birth, and they get new clothes and become a new person. And they get people come to church for the first time since Christmas, you know. And, well, it brings them in at least twice a year. Oh, we are so full of justifications, aren't we? Well, let's see here. What else we got? What else is going on during Easter? You got hot cross buns? I'll eat hot cross buns all year long. Put a little butter on there. So, now, if you want to get hyssop's to Babylon's, you can find out the details of the past of Easter. It's pagan to the max. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Zero, zilch. It's just another one of those ecumenical, let's all celebrate Easter together. You want to come to church with me today? It's Easter Sunday, you know. No. But Here's another question here. Should we do it? You know, should we participate in that kind of stuff anyway? Do you believe it? I mean, if you believe Easter is what Easter should be, then yeah, then the case is closed. Go out there and have a good Easter. Get yourself some new clothes, a bonnet, the white gloves, the whole bit, you know. Color your eggs, Easter egg hunt, you know, I mean, fine, whatever. You know, but if you actually believe it, now, you got a scriptural problem. Then your King James Bible is not your final authority. If you actually believe Christmas for what it says, people say it is, then you got a problem. But it exists. It's a holiday. Is it wrong to be around it? Do you need to bash it to everybody? I look at Romans 14, for example, here. Romans 14. Verse 20, that's Acts, I'm going to go to Romans. Romans 14, verse 20, I think it gives us some insight here. Because, hey, it exists. People do it. People go there. You know, if you don't believe in Easter, you're totally against it from that aspect of it, then you should go to work tomorrow. But it's a holiday, okay, like Christmas. If you're a Jew and you don't believe in Christmas, then you guys, Jews, ought to be working the next day. Would you accept the holiday? Anyway, whatever. But look at 14:20 of Romans 14:20. It says, "For meat destroy not the work of God." Now, if there was ever supposed to be, should have been a comma to me, it would have been after the word "for meat." But he doesn't put one in, so it doesn't have to be there. But it plainly says, "For meat destroy not the work of God." God wants people to understand about the risen Savior. And Easter is about the risen Savior. And what a what is it, Omni, I'm trying to think of Paradox or whatever. These people all over the country, world, want to celebrate the risen Jesus, but they 100% ignore his writings since he rose. It's that simple. His writings went to Paul. Now, his first comments were to Peter to get out there with the Jews and do the Great Commission thing. Okay, we understand that. And yet when the Jews and everybody rejected Christ, then he goes on to Paul. I mean, that's the order in your Bible. And from that point on with Paul, that's the risen Jesus, the risen Savior's teachings to the Gentiles. If the Jews want in on it, they can, but they rejected it, so they're blinded and kind of taken out of the picture for now. If the Jew can figure that thing out, you know, more power to them, but they usually don't. They usually catch into the ecumenical Jesus stuff like everybody else does. But we go back to this verse where it says, for meat. Now, we understand Easter. We understand Ishtar. We understand the false doctrine of it all. We understand that it should be despised, and I do. I despise it. But do I bash it to people? Do I stay away from it? Well, I stay away from it the best I can. But if we were to be having family coming over, that would be a miracle. But if we were to have family coming over because it's Easter, would I be the Archie Bunker of the Bible guys? No. What if they wanted to have the kids do an Easter egg thing? Well, that's between them and their kids and the parents and blah, 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 blah. You know, if anybody wants to ask me about Easter, I'll be glad to tell them. But you know, as soon as they do, they're going to get angry. So the meat that we understand, if we bash people with our meat, we could very easily destroy the work of God in these people's lives. Well, is God working in their lives? Doesn't seem like it, does he? Maybe he can only work in their lives through you. And that's not by bashing. Look at 15:1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, of course there has to be balance in this whole thing. No doubt about it. It's a false thing. We despise it. We are to destroy the magnificence of it. We're to avoid it. It's a false doctrine thing. We're to, from such, turn away. But then again, we have to be careful because these people who are weak in their knowledge, weak in their faith, don't understand all this kind of stuff. So we could actually cause someone to stumble by bashing this thing. We could cause someone to stumble by participating in it as well. Can we be around it? Sure. Do you have to participate in it? Not really. It's one of those things we've got to deal with. But from a scriptural standpoint, that's my point to this, as a final authority, Easter is a lie. Easter is a piece of religion. I despise what religion has done to me and to my family, to other people in church. I despise that. People have got religion ingrained in them. They can't even grasp the truth of Paul's teachings. They will hear what they hear, and if it's done in an authoritative manner, which Paul should be done, well, it should be, because it says right there in Titus, you know, it says, therefore these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. That's a command from Paul. Let no man despise thee. Well, they're going to despise you. Well, don't let them. Don't let it bother you. I'm getting tired of it in some respects. I'm getting tired of being blamed for this. You know what? I'm getting tired of being blamed for kids, for how their kids are turning out. It's my fault. They didn't, you know. That's just baloney. So I despise this stuff. But am I going to bash it on everybody? I've been there, done that. Did it do any good? I can't think of any good that it did. But if I'm just going to go to an Easter church service with somebody? No. Because now we're talking about worshiping idols. And God says, you know, you just don't do that. That's what he says, Romans 14 and some other chapters. No, you don't get to that point, you don't do that. You want to sing praises to God, singing some Easter songs and with the grass and the Easter? No, you don't do that. Because you're participating in a false, you're actually participating in it. We're going to cause a lot of problems. Well, yeah, it does. Is it because you're not doing it? No, it's because you are turning your King James Bible into a final authority, rightly divided. If you want to claim the Gospels as your final authority, then yeah, have a happy Easter, have a Merry Christmas, because that's where they can pretend that it exists. So anyway, so this lady turns to her study Bible for her final authority. And you know it's not a King James only Bible, because you know, if their notes say all sin is abolished, that's the Lutheran kind of type thing. That's a modern Christian thing, you know. Well, yeah, Christ took care of the law, but for those that believe. So if you're a believer, you're truly one of his, then yeah, there is no sin to impute. There's no law. There's no transgression. There's no law. A couple other verses like that. So anyway, that's just my hors d'oeuvres from the morning. That's my Easter message, you know. I get up this morning and there's hot cross buns and cinnamon rolls. Well, that's fine. I'm glad to have that. Am I going to turn this into an Easter service? Are we going to put eggs? No, we're not. Is that going to cause problems in your family? I suppose. That's new. Now, let's move on to what our whole purpose is supposed to be here, and that is 1 John chapter 3. We are looking at 1 John. Not going to sit here and compare doctrine to Paul's. We've been over this 1,000,000,000 times. We know that the doctrine doesn't match what Paul teaches, okay? And if you got a pastor or somebody that goes through these verses to put some guilt things on you or kind of use these things here in your life, he's lying to you. You know, he's misapplying the stuff. And I know you love him. He's a great man, great woman, whatever, you know, but they're wrong. I despise religion because it's a lie. And people think everything is fine and hunky-dory. And from what I have heard, yeah, I guess I'll still leave it alone on the website, though. What that website can cause in a person's career. Okay, we're looking at 1 John chapter 3 today. Look at everything going right here. If I don't, Mark, I hope you're getting it. I noticed lately that my microphone has been so close to my papers that the papers are making a lot of noise. So for you website video people who hear that, my apologies. But okay, so we're 1 John chapter 3. We are looking at, again, not the doctrine so much as what it's going to take to be a person in the tribulation. Well why? We're not going to be in. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to talk about that? Well, for one thing, it's in the Bible. Two, preachers are using Hebrews to Jude in their preaching to teach people how to be today. And three, it causes confusion because if you happen to be a Bible reader, which most Christians aren't anymore, and they hear what he says and they believe it, and then they read some other things in 1 John, they say, well, if he's going to quote first, you know, John chapter 3, verse 1, well, why doesn't he, is that true about verse 10? You know, kind of a thing. See, there's the difference between the rightly dividers who go verse by verse. They have to pick the verse, and they make that verse apply to whichever dispensation they want to, because, see, that takes an education. If you want to learn that, you need to come to my school, and we'll teach you how 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 applies to you, because it says we're sons of God, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 doesn't apply to you, it applies to the tribulation. And verse 14 tells me how important it is that we need to love the brethren, but verse 15 is not written to us because it's about the fact that you can't hate your brother and be saved. See, verse 17 talks about you haven't got the love of God in you, but verse 22 says that if you're born of God, you know, this is what they do. And the people sit there with their tongues drooling, and goes, boy, isn't he just a good pastor? He's doing so good. You look at all the people he's got coming. Look at the community. Look at the friends. Look at the family. Look at the joy here. Oh, it's just so cruel. But see, he's wrong. And I'll show you here. To be a Christian, a believer, during the tribulation, just because you got the Spirit of God upon your flesh, Acts chapter 2, doesn't mean you're going to have the joy and the strength to just do what you have to do and just not do what you're not supposed to do. It's not going to be that easy. And if you're not careful, you'll see this morning here that, yes, it's important to love the brethren. But how important is it to love the brethren today? And we're gonna pick it up at verse 10. Oh, can you review a little bit? Let's go back to verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, which we showed last week, that yes, he is going to do that, but he hasn't done it yet. That's called burn up this earth, because he's the God of this world. And burn all this stuff up in 1st, 2nd Peter chapter 3, etc., etc. So verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Okay, ask somebody who says they're born of God, have you done any sinning? And they're going to say, well, yeah, but I confess them. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you're born of God, you don't commit sin. You can't do it. He cannot sin. I mean, he's capable, but he cannot. Why not? Because he's a child of God. You can't do that. You're a child of God. You can't wear that. You're a child of God. You can't go there. You're a child of God. You can't think that. You can't watch that. You can't eat that. You can't be that way. You're a child of God. You can't do that. And Christ will chastise you because he loves you. All that kind of stuff. And if you do, you better confess it. 1 John 1:9. Okay, so now verse 10. Here we go. Next part here. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's how you tell the difference between a Christian, a believer, or one who's not. Okay, here's how you tell. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Okay. So, if you're doeth righteousness, then you are a child of God. But if you doeth not righteousness, you're not of God. Okay? We've been over that. We see the word doeth in 1 John all the time. Yes, it's 1 John. It's doeth. It's do. It's doing righteousness. It's not being made his righteousness like Paul teaches. See, we today, the kind of Christians we are, is because we don't really have to doeth righteousness. He's already made us his. And the righteousness that we do, based on Paul's teachings, not the Beatitudes, based on Timothy and Titus especially, we will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. For the things that we don't do, or don't doeth, will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. We ourselves will be saved. So we're trying to build upon our foundation. Great. But see, in the tribulation, their doeth-ing righteousness will tell them whether or not they're of God or not. Okay, so we've been over that. Now look at verse 10, the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words there. There's a neither here. Here's another thing. Not only are you supposed to doeth righteousness, but you're supposed to love your brother. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now I can tell you right now, I could give you some list of people in my recent past, in the last 5, 7, 8 years of pastoring and stuff, or people out there in the community here that say they're Christians, you know, and they've met the website and they managed to get me fired over. Is that what it is? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you later if you want to know. People that I've written to, people that have written to me, people that have written to Mark, and you've written back to Mark, written back to those people. And you've all had your conversations with people, you know, your own kids, in fact. You know, it's so easy today to take kids' worldly trek and blame the parents. No, I'm going to blame religion. I'm not going to blame parents anymore. I'm going to blame religion. Sure, we parents should have wised up to religion, but we did what we could. And we were doing it on religion. Now, when the kids figured out religion, how fake it was, they left it. Well, I'm happy about that. You should be happy about that. However, they're not looking for God anymore because they've been burnt by religion. But all these people that are out there that say they're Christians in our past, whatever, I'm sorry, but they're supposed to still love me, according to this. And I know some that don't. I'm sure 3 years later I'm still bashed. I'm sure I'm bashed from back in when I lived in Rapid City. We had our home church. I was bashed. I'm sure if we go back to First Bible, I'm still bashed. I'm sure if we go back to Las Vegas, I'm still bashed. Where's the love of the brethren? According to this. Remember, we're looking at this according to this right here in 1 John. Because, see, it says right there that neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message ye have heard, that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Well, sure we should. So pull that little verse out right there, and that's fine. We should love each other. Well, yeah, we should. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. People still have me for dinner. I'm sure they do. Marvel not. Well, what about you bashing pastors and stuff there, Pastor? Or Paulson, or whatever you want to call yourself. Listen, I'm just exposing false teachings. I'm exposing somebody who you think is fantastically marvelous, who says they don't love them. Okay? B, who says they're brethren. They're teaching the false doctrine. They're not teaching Paul's doctrine. Or they're using it. Anyway. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Well, I guess I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that this is how people react to the website. I think it's really sad because there's nothing hateful in there. I changed that website a long time ago. The goodness of God, living the life of the risen Savior. How can it be hateful? Oh, you do it with authority. You do it with hate speech. No, I don't. Biblical authority, sure. What's wrong with standing on something that's solid? People are going to get mad at you because they have a hole in their boat and you don't, so you're going to float and they're going to get mad at you as their boat sinks? Yeah, they are. It's just the way they are. Okay, here we go. Now it gets tougher here. We know that we have, oh, by the way, verse 13, we don't need to go out of our way to make people hate us. That's against Paul's teachings. We don't have to go out there to be offensive. The scriptures will be offensive, but we don't have to be. And, you know, church that we got in here, we got Grandma, we got Bob, we got Gamma Vate, you were there, Jeanette, you were there, Pete, you were there, Mark, you were there for all those times when we believe that if you don't offend somebody, you haven't done a good job with your sermon, so you go out there to purposely offend people. Well, those bridges were burnt, but that was wrong. It was wrong. You know, if I could talk to these people again, A, I would apologize to them, say, you know what, I taught you a false teaching. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'd like to show them the truth of the whole thing. I tried it with my family, tried it with other people's family. You tried it with your kids. No, they're just looking for a way to get out of this world. This world is a powerful force in their life. And music, by the way, anyway. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Wow. Do we know that? No, we don't know that. That's not our final authority. That is not the fact that we love everybody makes me a Christian. That is not my final authority at all. That's tribulation. I'll show you here in a minute what Paul says about the brethren, by the way. Yeah, the brethren are important. But is it proof that we're a Christian? Not at all. Look at this. It gets tougher. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, can't you just take a preacher today and we've got problems within the church, you know, somebody's mad at each other, which happens all the time. But I'll tell you, people are yo-yo Christians in a church. One day they hate each other, one day they love each other. I got so many memories of ladies that one day somebody would hate the one, and the next day she'd be going on garage sales with him, you know, and then a couple of days later she'd scratch their face off again. I'm just like, gee, I'm sure glad you guys didn't believe in this First John stuff, because look at this thing here. Your salvation is dependent upon whether you love your brother or not. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, see, if you love the brethren, you're a murderer, and you can't be a Christian because you're a murderer. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? That's pretty tough there. This is how you know you have the love of God, because you'd give your life for somebody else. Now, as we get going here, well, I'll show you. Just hang in there. Don't make your preconceived conclusion and click off of this thing and fall asleep here. You'll see how this all fits in together. Now, here we go. But whoso hath, I like this one. Don't take it wrong this morning, folks. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Boy, now there's a guilt trip. You want me to put you on a guilt trip this morning? A pretend guilt trip. I don't mean this. But if 1 John was written to us, and the situation I find myself in right now, not because of anything I've done, but because of my age, and because of a 10-year situation, and because of what I believe, I could possibly be up a major creek in about 2 or 3 months. Major creek. Who's going to hire, you know, the whole story. He wants to hire these old teachers. He's old-fashioned anyway, blah, 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 blah. But see, if you have world's goods out there, and you know I have a need, you're not a Christian if you don't help me out. You got money? You send me money. Now, I'm just talking here. I have a couple of you have sent some money already, and it's I set it aside for when it really crashes here, if that happens. But I'm just saying, here's how they use this verse, that you don't have the love of God if you don't help me. I need money. I need more money than I've needed for a long time. I need to have some encouragement. I need to have some guidance, blah, 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 blah. Now, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this isn't your verse? Because there's people out there that wouldn't help me if I was hanging on the edge of a cliff on a string with a rattlesnake hanging on my ankle with a buffalo down at the bottom of the cliff, so if I fall, they're going to trample me. With my family and friends watching with video cameras. They wouldn't help me for anything. Are they Christians? Do they have the love of God in them? According to this, they don't. Where's your compassion, folks? Well, he's just, you know, he's got everything he deserved. I mean, they fired him because he probably did something stupid with the kids, you know, and he's always done that. And you know, I was told by somebody really close to me that you've been doing this since 1970. This is always the way you've done things, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, I appreciate the compassion. But according to the part of the Bible that you tend to believe that is true, that you don't have the love of God in you. And these people that, like Mark, that you wrote to here, where's this lady's love of God that bump you off the website or bump you off the email there, the Facebook? Where's her love of God, according to what she believes? Matter of fact, Beatitudes tell these people that disagree with us that they're not supposed to fight us. They're supposed to agree with an adversary. Where's their love? If we are so wrong, why doesn't a Lutheran try to show me, because he has a love of God, to show me where I'm wrong? Blah, 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 blah. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. That's a good one. But in deed and truth. Okay, that's good. That's a good verse to pull out of there for today. But that isn't written to us today, because the verse before that says if you don't help somebody who has a need, and you've got the way to fulfill the need, which some people do, I'm telling you, this website, I mean, how long is it going to last? How long am I going to last? People got the bucks, people got the time, people got the compassion, it's out there. Devil's people get those fantastic, I always said this back in those days, didn't I, Bob? The devil's got so much money to send all these fantastic brochures that we could barely afford to print them on regular paper. Devil's got all the cash. Oh, come on. God's got all the 10,000 cattle. He just hasn't cashed them in yet, kind of a thing. See, we can be so easily bashed for not having the love of God in us. These people that want to do Easter, let them do Easter. Well, if we don't do the Easter with them, then we don't have the love of God in us. Now, I'd like to show you some things about Easter, if you don't mind, but otherwise, go do your thing. I don't care. It doesn't bother me any. I taught in a public school. I may not ever again. I kind of don't want to ever again. But what are you going to do? Well, maybe da-da-da-da. Where's the love of God in you? I've got the love of God. I want to tell people about the truth. But they get angry. Yeah, I know. Is it because it's not how I say it. It's just the fact that I speak with all, like he says in Titus again. You know, I'll read it again to us. This is how we're supposed to be. Speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Paul also says to a father to charge and to exhort, also says to comfort. And we got these people out there in this modern Christianity that are far more judgmental than we ever are. Far more judgmental. Where's their love of God in them? Let's finish up. Let's keep going here. See, so that last one said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay, that's a good sounding verse. And then he says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Okay, now here's how you know that you are of the truth. Here's how you know, because you're going to do life in deed and in truth. Here's how you know that you're of that truth. Verse 20. You got a good conscience? That's what this is about. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Behold, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You got a clean conscience? Well, that means you're a Christian. That means you're of the truth. You have a clean conscience. Clean conscience from what? From doing the wrong thing. You guys have a clean conscience this morning from not doing anything wrong? I have a clean conscience this morning because I know Christ didn't impute it, and I know Christ took care of it, Christ paid for it, and Christ imputed his righteousness to me. That's my clean conscience. But is it based on my walk? Well, here's what it's supposed to be, verse 22. Here you go. See, you got this clean conscience, so in whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Oh, really? Oh, is that true? Well, yeah, it says I'll also down in chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So, you know, let's have a clean conscience and God will give us whatever we ask. Oh, really? Well, you think maybe I'm in the position I'm in is because I don't have a clean conscience. Maybe I've been doing some things not quite right. Everybody seems to think that I've done it wrong, you know. He's always done it the wrong way anyway, so he's just paying for it again. I'm not going to help him any now. Now, look at what it says. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Again, that takes back to 1 John. It's all about do. Peter's all about doing. James is all about doing. Hebrews, doing. Jude, doing. Paul. It's not about doing. It's about doing the right thing after we're saved, after we put our trust in him, after he's turned made us into his righteousness. Now we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We try to. But it says right here, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, question. What are the things you should do to please God? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. No. Okay, let's go to Peter chapter 2, verse 41, 42, 43. No. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. No. Let's go to Peter. He tells us what we should do to please God. No. Well, Peter says we're going to have trials of our faith. We are, but see, we're not in Peter's time yet. Peter's the apostle to the circumcision, so that's not to us. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, that's Paul. We know that. So why take these other books and put the guilt trip on people when those things that you're doing that pleases God is going to be there for reward, not to clean your conscience, not so you can, whatever you ask, you receive. Because see, when our kids hear this stuff being preached, which I used to preach, and God wasn't there, is it no wonder they say, well, where's God at? And then when they find out that God really isn't there based on their goodness, then why worry about the goodness? Because you should do the good things because God is there. But they've been burnt. Your kids have been burnt. I hope your kids, Jeanette, you know, and Daniel, Bob, Grandma, and myself, our kids got burnt with religion. They got burnt with this false teaching. I know it's my fault, but, you know, whatever. Remember, Bob, and you said it was my fault and all that stuff? Sorry, I should have brought that up. But I was okay with it. I understood. I understand why people think the way they do. You try to go to different churches to see if that would satisfy everybody, and you found out it didn't. I could do the same thing. I'm not going to waste my time doing it. I'm not going to go to all these churches around here to please somebody. That's wrong. They're liars. They're nice people. But this is the stuff they preach. If you just do the right thing, God will bless you, you know. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and then ask, and He'll give you another job, you know. And this is commandment. Here we go. And this is His commandment. Here we go. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So do we see that in 1 John, that if you want to be a believer during the time of the tribulation, not only do you believe on the name, what does that mean? The fact that He is the Son of God. Look at verse 15 of chapter 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's believing on His name, on the name of. What do you mean the name of? The name of Jesus Christ is the fact that He is God's Son. The name. They believe that He is God's Son. You go to chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. See, that's His name. Look at verse 5. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's all believing on His name. They believe that that name is the name of the Son of God. And then it says, and love one another. Look at verse 24, it kind of ties it all together, doesn't it? And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. That goes back to John chapter 14, by the way. Well, why not? This is still John, you know. And it says, hereby we know that He abideth in us, by the Spirit which He hath given us. Not to me today. I know that He abides in me, and me in Him, because of what Paul has taught me. What my King James Bible, rightly divided, has taught me. If I go by John, if I go by 1 John, I just need to know that, I just need to believe that He is the Son of God. And that He will give me a clean conscience because I'll keep His commandments. I'll do the right things. See, and I'll love everybody, and I have to love everybody, and that means that I'm a Christian. Now, Paul says a really good verse here. Oh, I was going to get into these, but I guess it's kind of late here. What does Paul say about loving the brethren? He says a lot of things about loving the brethren. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. It's a tract. It's called God's Builders. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Where's the spirit of meekness when somebody does trip up? Well, you know, he's got coming. I'm not going to help many, blah, blah, blah. But see, we still look to the Gospels and to Peter and to John for our attitude toward the brethren. Paul is very clear that we're to be there for each other. No doubt. Now, maybe I'll go through the verses tonight, but I doubt it for like a part two thing. Probably not. But we'll see. I have something else for tonight, but we'll see how that goes. We just have to realize that 1 John, to be a person during the, here's my point, to be a Christian during the tribulation, you're going to have to love your brethren. And we already have a hard time with it. We got the Spirit of God in us. We got a Bible that tells us we ought to. But Paul also says, Romans 12 here, he says one more thing here. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's with all men. See, in the tribulation, you're supposed to just love the brethren, and you're supposed to stay away from everybody else, 100%. You escape the pollutions of the world. You can't participate with anybody for anything because you can't buy, trade, sell, da-da-da-da, or you're done for. And if you don't love the brethren during those hard, awful times, you're not born of God. Boy, if that were to be true today, most of us wouldn't be born of God because we got somebody we got an issue with. Or I look back at my previous pastors, you know, how much they got me caught into religion, or how much they got me to follow the church, or how much they got me to follow them, or their drawings, or their notes, the things they caused me to do back in the earlier years. I'm not bitter towards any of them. There's no point. I've realized what the truth is, and Can you be so right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with being so right when my rightness is based on the Bible, not me? Well, you didn't say everything right. Well, get over it. And look at what was said, not how it was said. Look at the scriptures. Love the brethren the best you can do. We're supposed to live peaceably with all men, as much as lieth within you. And then how do we stay away? How do we deal with all these issues in life that are so wrong? Schooling, holidays. It's simple. You just don't do them. You avoid, have such withdraw. You don't get in there and get this. You just get out of there. Just get away from it. Do the best you can. Live as much as life possible in you. Stay with them. You want to see God work in their life. You got to be there for a testimony. But you can't fit in with them. It doesn't work to fit in. It doesn't work to change your clothes, ladies, to fit into them, because then they know that you're just a flake with what you believe. You can't do what you have to do. And it's frustrating when you're forced, or if I see somebody forced to do some things, how much that damages their testimony. But it's not their fault. And what do? This is where persecution comes in the tribulation. You do the stuff we're doing today, you will not be a child of God. There's a difference in what it takes to be a Christian today. And all Paul says, the Savior says, is it's just reasonable service. Not even that big a deal to dress right, talk right, do right, all this kind of stuff. Be the right kind of wife, right kind of husband. It's like, why is it so hard? Well, our flesh is there. So in the tribulation, he's got to put the flesh on them, or the Spirit of God on them, to handle that flesh. And then they're going to have to do it all right. What kind of person is it going to be in the tribulation? Boy, I wouldn't want to be that person. Not at all. Because everything that's going on today is leading towards that. What do we have in the news for Easter today? Tebow is making the main news. There's another article of some people someplace are crucifying themselves on the cross. You've got the Chavez guy down in Venezuela, Colombia, or somewhere down there, asking God to save his life. Put the cross on me. Make me bleed. What? You're better than Jesus? That you can bleed enough to, you know? It's just crazy things that are going on out there. The news is just, again, there's that final authority comes into play. I can tell you why that King James Bible says what it says about what's going on in the news. Man, the home security stuff, the law, the gun stuff, the economy, the money. Oh, man. The control of the websites, the hate speech, it's getting worse and worse. And, oh, I tell you, I'll just be glad we're not in the tribulation itself, because we would all be up a creek. And I hear the congregation go, amen, amen, amen. Well, there you are this morning, folks. I probably didn't get all I want to get said, but my mind is thinking of things again this morning. Love the brethren the best you can. Help them out if you can. Boy, I'm sure not the only one in the creek without a paddle right now. I look at each one of those names up there and everybody's got a problem. Everybody's hurting for something. Health, finances, family problems, being forced to do things you really don't believe in doing, the struggle day by day at work, age, all this stuff, family issues, husband, wife issues, kids out there playing in the world, having a great time. Go ahead, everybody, blame me for all your problems. But hang in there. Stay with me on this stuff. We'll see you folks tonight.